from the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Just Don't Give a Shit. You can find them over at ijustdontgiveashit.com and check out all of their items that they just don't give a shit about. At checkout, you can use the code TI Plus for a special listener discount or not. They just don't give a shit. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by Microsoft headquarters, from Microsoft headquarters, by the ever lovely and talented Mr. Adam Burns. What are you doing at Microsoft, Adam?
I'm not. I told you. So my green screen that you're usually looking at has a window behind it.
Now it looks like the new Windows 8 logo. It's kind of that monochrome flat window looking. You should just put a big number 8 behind you.
Yeah, so we're recording in the daytime, which is not something we generally do. And so the sun is
for good
shining,
reason.
The sun is shining brilliantly through the window and it's outlining the frame of the window.
We do not record during the daytime for good reason. I'll tell you why. Do you have Google Maps there? Can you pull up Google Maps?
Would that be maps.google.com?
Yes, maps.google.com.
Okay, yeah, I've got maps.
And listeners, you can do this too if you'd like. Just kind of like a fun little play along thing at home here. Type in 200 Cold Spring Road.
Okay.
Rocky Hill, Connecticut.
Now,
it's putting you somewhere, I don't even know where it's pointing you to, some piece of silliness called Computer Services Unlimited, which is not, in fact, the apartment complex that I live in. If you'll notice, there's a big empty white space behind that little tiny pond, big empty white space that sits right above the interstate there.
Okay.
That is where my apartment complex is, and our apartment faces that interstate. So the window that is right in front of me is actually facing I-91, so it is very loud, and I actually have the gain cranked way back on my microphone, and I'm having to basically eat it in order to keep traffic noises from coming in here. So that's why we don't record during the day.
So that's why Google Hangout is distorting the hell out of your voice when you're coming through to me.
Actually, no, that's probably because I had the volume going up to that channel.
Yeah, well, and evidently we don't record during the daytime because of your ass as well. Like you don't want to, like, it's too bright and you don't want to walk in front of the camera. You don't want your ass.
Can I just say something? If anyone in the audience has lost 15 to 20 pounds, I found it. Please let me know. I'll be happy to return it for you. Now, since we quit smoking, which, by the way, let's see. I figured this out the other day. It's going to actually be 90 days. That we quit smoking when I go pick Steven up from the airport next week. So right now we are at 85.21 days since we quit smoking.
85.21 days.
That is correct.
Where did you actually do the math?
Well, no, it's a little app that does the math for me.
Oh, so I was wondering where the 2-1 came from.
Right. So it was like 10 a.m. or something. On December 2nd. I am being text messaged by my husband, who's in the other room. What is that?
I just want to say congratulations.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Smoking for that long. That was your standing ovation.
Shut the fuck up.
I've got balls of steel.
Right, my shiny metal ass.
All right, so my husband just texted me from the other room, so please stand by here for a moment. Apparently, it's snowing. Finally, here in Connecticut. Today, February 25th.
So wait. We got to be like a real radio station here, and you know, we have the live Dubious Intent, you know, weather room or whatever it's called. You know, wait, this just in from the Dubious Intent weather room. And he has. Where did you go?
I'm behind the computer.
Daniel has walked off. He has taken his headphones with him, so he's hearing me. But I am hearing, no one else is hearing anything.
I can see out the window now, Adam. It appears to be snowing here in Rocky Hill, Connecticut.
It appears to be snowing. So anyone driving at the moment?
If you're driving near Interstate 91 in Rocky Hill, Connecticut, first of all, you know, do it quieter, please. And secondly, it's currently snowing. So you might want to, you know, it is. It's snowing. Finally, you know what? My God, how long has it taken for us to get freaking snow here in Connecticut? You know what? There was that one time that it snowed. And since then, it has not snowed since we've lived here.
Well, I think
And it's snowing like really hard. I believe the technical term for this is it's snowing like a mofo out there.
Well, I think what you need next time we record is you need to get a second webcam and you need to face it out that window. So
here's the thing, you can switch
between the two.
Have you ever been to one of those foam parties that basically ends up being a big orgy?
No, but I've always wanted to. Oh, it is. Look at that. Wow, that's pretty. I like that. It's very nice. I feel like I'm there with you now.
but that's what it kind of looks like. It kind of looks like one of those foam parties that eventually turns into an orgy with all the soap foam flying around. You know, in Florida, we didn't have snow, but what Disney would do is they would, you know, shoot like little soap bubbles out like that to make it feel, you know, make it look like it was snowing at Christmas time.
It was like 105 degrees outside.
Right, exactly.
But they're shooting soap bubbles out. And you're like, why do I feel so much cleaner now that I've left Disney? You know, I have never been to a foam party, and I, much to my chagrin, I want to say, because my entire life, I think I've spent on a quest to attend a foam party, but never have I been to one. I have wanted to go to a foam party for so long. The closest I got was in Los Angeles. I saw a stripper who was dancing in foam because they were not allowed to get naked, but they had him in a plexiglass box. And apparently he was getting naked, but under the foam, so you couldn't see.
Where's the fun in that?
Well, I don't even know. You know, you didn't even know if he was really getting naked because, I mean, he was inside foam. He could have been saying, yep, naked now, you know, completely naked and, you know, not be naked at all.
Well, there you go. I've now centered in on the window. You can enjoy the
I didn't mean I wanted to see that for the entire recording because I can't see when you're going to talk or anything. But it is pretty.
Yeah, it is very pretty.
It looks like I'm recording with a snow globe now.
I'm just saying, I know people that live in the north are all like jaded and, oh, snow, God, I hate snow. And you're going to hate it a year from now or whatever. But, you know, at least for now, give me my joy. It's kind of cool. And the camera is not doing justice to how much snow is swirling around.
You know what we can do? Throughout the recording, we can, you know, do updates of how much snow there actually is on the grass lawn underneath your window.
Yeah. You can see it. You can see it starting to accumulate there on the grass. Now, suddenly I feel like this is like a meteorological joke that no one is going to get unless you're from Florida and you've had to put up with hurricane coverage before. But basically they put the stupid people standing out in the rain during a hurricane. And then they'll go back to them every so often, you know. Let's go out to Joe Blow, who's standing, you know, in the rain right now at some coast, and let's go talk to him. And he's like, that's right, Wolf. I'm here. And, you know, and they're always like standing like right where they're getting pelted by the rain or whatever. And, you know, they're only about like 4-5 feet away from a hotel room. And it's like, why not just go back inside the hotel room? Because what they do is they say things like, and I know I've said this on another show before, but they say stupid things like, well, I just talked to the mayor here and he says, like, we're supposed to believe that the mayor is also out there standing in the weather. It's like, why don't you report from the disaster preparedness office downtown where they have windows and, you know, dry.
You know, they would do the same thing in Dallas, but in Dallas, the big thing for them to do was anytime there was any kind of ice or snow at all, I mean, it could be just barely coming down, they would position the news anchors or the one, you know, it's kind of like the ones wearing the red shirts on Star Trek. You know, they're the ones that are going to die in the episode. It's the ones they don't really care about. They could be hit by a car. They don't really care. They would put them on the overpasses. So they would go back to them. And you know, now if it was really good and there was a lot of ice, you might see some like cars sliding behind them and stuff like that. But they would go back to them during the course of the hour or whatever it was. And, you know, how's that road looking out there? You know, and anyway.
And this is what they'd say. Well, as you can see here, Bob, there's lots of ice that's accumulated on the ground. This is not something that you should be out driving in. Just keep it tuned here to the television station so you can see it. You should definitely not be out here where I am currently at.
Right.
All right. Well, I've wasted enough of your time with it, but I'm very happy. It's snowing, and now what do I have to do? I have to record a fucking podcast instead of me going out and playing in the snow.
Oh, gosh. I don't think there's enough for you to build a snowman yet.
But there will be. Look at that. It's accumulating there on the bit.
Well, you know, maybe you should put on some galoshes and go out there and take your wireless microphone and you can do a report.
I don't have a wireless microphone, but you know what I should do is I should put on my my scarf that Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone knitted for me and go out and, you know.
Well, speaking of putting on scarves and other accoutrements for the, you know, I needed a haircut this weekend. Okay, haircuts have nothing to do with putting on a scarf. I meant glasses. But haircut came first.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to back up and forget about the segue there. So this weekend, I needed a haircut. And haircuts are very traumatic for me. Like, I have cried before because of haircuts.
Seriously,
I have. I'm not joking. And people who know me probably understand that that is the truth.
Why have you cried over haircuts?
Being unhappy with it because it takes... It takes a long time for it to grow back. And if you don't like it, you're stuck with it until it grows back. It's just, especially like when I used
but
to get highlights.
But you wear a hat. Adam, I've known you for like over 3 years. You always wear a freaking hat.
Well, that's not true. At work, I can't wear a hat.
Well, who cares what you look like at work?
At work, I can't wear a hat. And I did, there was one day at Pride 48 that I didn't wear a hat.
Oh, was that the day that everyone was making fun of your thinning hair?
I don't know. They must have been doing it behind my back, you ass. Anyway, so I had to go get a haircut. And so I go and get it. Well, I've been having this back and forth conversation with my stylist, who is not going to be my stylist anymore, I don't think.
You have fired your stylist.
And she said... I had always left it fairly long in the front. You know, I had fairly long bangs in the front. It looked kind of surfery and kind of hung out beneath my hat if I was wearing a hat and looked kind of floppy or whatever. And it looked kind of youthful, or at least in my mind. And so, but I like the sides and the back to be short. Well, I keep having this back and forth with her that she's like, I can't get the back and the sides as short as you want it and keep it as long in the front as what you want. But I've never had this problem until this particular stylist. So when I went in on Sunday, I was like, you know what? I'm just sick of this hair. If you need to cut it shorter to get the back and the sides the length that I want them, please just do whatever you need to do. So she gets done, and it's just too short in the front. I mean, I don't like it that short in the front. I mean, the haircut doesn't look bad, but it's just too short. And so I put up, and I was thinking, and so then I go, this is where the glasses come in. Then I go, because I'm also thinking about getting new glasses. Because no one ever sees me in glasses, but occasionally I have to take my contacts out to rest my eyeballs, and then I have to wear glasses. And I've never been happy with my glasses, so I was like, I'll go to Sam's because they have a lot of glasses there, or Walmart, because I don't have vision coverage, and so I have to find cheap ones. And so I go in, and I'm looking at glasses. So I take a picture of myself, and I have the new haircut and the glasses on. And the first thing I do is I text it to, I've been told, by the way, that I can tell the name of the Filipino lover.
Ah, the Filipino lover.
So his name is Mark.
I already knew that, though.
So, yeah. Well, but no one on the show knew. So no one who listens.
Hi, Mark. And it's glad that we don't have to call you the Filipino lover anymore.
Mark said, as long as I don't give out his address and like
Social Security
number. Wait,
did he say that you could call him by his name because he didn't want to be called Mittens anymore? Is that,
I think so. There was a conversation about either Mittens or Perry or Tranny or whatever. And he's like, why don't you just call me Mark? And I was like, well, some people get crazy about, you know, not wanting their name. Anyway. So I sent him a text message and said, and mainly was asking him if he liked the glasses. And then I don't even remember what his response was, but it was something like, man, you look a lot older. Uh-huh. And I was like, what? First of all, when you're dating someone, can you just not make negative comments? Even if you think something, just, and he's known me long enough to know that I am very fragile. I am a fragile flower. And I don't handle that sort of thing very well. And he's like, I'm not sure if it's the glasses or the haircut, but you look older. And you know, to some people, that might not be a bad thing. They might think, oh, well, you know, looking older could mean I look sophisticated or whatever. It doesn't mean you look ugly. But for me, that's a very, you know.
Yes. And we should probably start about that. But first, I think we need to go back out to the field and get an update.
Yeah, how's it going over there? How's it going?
On the weather. As you can see here, Bob, it's completely quit snowing now. There's no snow to be had anywhere here in Connecticut. Wow. Very short-lived snow ceremony. Didn't even accumulate.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I guess you're not missing anything then.
So if I hadn't gotten that text to look out the window, never would have known.
So then I thought, I know all of my friends, the many friends and listeners of the podcast and other various places that people know me from on Google+, they know me. They know that I'm very sensitive, and if I post this picture, they will make me feel better. Okay, so the person I'm dating didn't, but so I post the picture. So here is some comments that I get. Mr. Brewer, who is my co-host, tells me I look like a German dude named...
How's that bad, though?
Dieter. Well, you couldn't have said, oh, you look fine, or whatever. You just said, you have to make a joke out of it.
All right, let's set the stage here. You had on glasses, which, hey, you know I have a thing for glasses, so I think anyone in glasses looks attractive. So while we're like trying to call people out for supposedly knowing each other, I have a thing for glasses, so I immediately love glasses, period. But you had a scowl on your face, and you did. You look very German, like, I am Dieter. How dare you? How dare you look at me?
The lighting's in Sam's is not great, and I tried a smile, and it looked bad. So my face looks smoother and less wrinkly.
I can't move forward. Who's the next comment from?
Well, so then Scott, little Aussie battler, who I think he either hates my guts or he likes to bitch at or be mean to me. He says that I look like a serial killer. and then
a German serial killer.
And then he says, please do another photo minus the old man glasses. Ouch.
Aww.
You know,
aww,
it's like,
I like the glasses. The glasses were cool.
So, and now I just, because I know that I will get hate mail from people. Steven in Wisconsin told me I looked like Alden and then went on to say that I looked adorable because he thinks Alden looks adorable. And Donna Sugar said, but Scotty Battler was a bitch. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, but that's his thing. That's his shtick.
Anyway,
that's what he does.
Although I have to say, your husband made the comment Hans and Franz.
Yes, because he was agreeing with me that you look like a German.
But Alden, as always, Alden is the sweetest person in the world. He says, glasses all the way, darling.
All right, now here's the thing. You know, we need to address this problem. Because people may be, you know, oh my God, I'm overly worried about getting fat. Right. Oh, or somebody might have like real body image issues where there's like, oh my God, if I eat this, I'm going to get fatter. And I just, so therefore I'm not going to eat this because I'm terrified that I'm going to get fat. And that'll like, they'll completely dictate their life around the not eating things or whatever. And to a certain extent, you know, you can control your weight. And so by them not eating those things, you know, they may become absolutely anorexic and unhealthy, but they will not become fat. Okay.
Okay.
There may be people who are terrified of the dark. I am terrified of the dark. I have an irrational fear of the dark. And so therefore I'm going to keep a little nightlight on here somewhere. And everywhere I go, there's always got to be a light on and stuff like that. Now that may be annoying and it may be, inconvenient to a lot of people, but absolutely, they will not be in the dark.
Okay.
Agreed?
Yeah, I agree with those things. I'm just, where are we going?
Right. We're going with this, Adam, is that you have an irrational fear of getting older and I don't care what you do. You are going to get older. There is nothing you can do to stop that. You need to do something about this or else you are going to, and I don't know why I'm being so staccato with my voice scold you.
You've got the thumb and the pointer finger together.
Yes, I do. You know what, Adam? We are human beings. We get old and you know what else? We die. And those are two things that you cannot escape and those are the things that you have to come to peace with. You are going to get older. Period. End of discussion. You need to learn how to cope with that, Adam. And I'm telling you this as a friend. I love you dearly, but you need to learn how to cope with this because you are going to get older. And if I may quote Betty White, who just turned 90, by the way, if I may quote Betty White, who said in an interview or it was on her TV show, I forget because I'm old, but she said, the thing that they never tell you is that you don't actually feel older. You still feel like yourself. You just occasionally catch glimpses of an old person staring back at you out of a mirror. And we're all like that. We don't see ourselves daily, right? Unless we're looking in a mirror, unless we're sitting around. Like my external image of myself as I'm sitting around working and everything is not what I see in the mirror or see on the camera, right? I don't like to think that I'm this fat. And it's like, well, that I've gained this much weight from smoking. So I don't think about it. But then I catch a glimpse of it and I'm confronted with that harsh reality. Same with age. I don't feel like I'm 45, right? I feel like I did when I was 20.
And I understand what you're saying. I would rebut. Is rebut the right word? Well, whatever.
I don't know. It sounds like a very iconoclastic word.
I would iconoclastically rebut your comments, refute maybe even better, by saying we are all aware, and I'm aware, and it's not just an old thing. It is a Adam wants to look a certain way thing. It has nothing to do with age. You cannot do that forever.
You cannot do that forever, honey, and you have to accept the fact that you will not be able to do that.
Well, I think it's because I've never reached exactly what I wanted to look like, and as I get older, it gets harder and harder to get to where I wanted to be. So either I'm going to have to get there, or at some point I'm just going to have to realize I'm never going to get there.
You're going to have to accept it.
So I have gotten better looking as I've gotten older, though. I do have to say that. If you saw pictures of me in high school, you would agree. But anyway,
at least, I mean, you're whatever. You're going to do that thing that I did. I know you're going to do it, and you're not going to believe me when I tell you that. So it's not important. So just move.
What did you do?
When I was your age, I hated myself. I hated the way I looked. I hated everything about me. But now I look back now at pictures of me when I was that age, and I was like, "What the fuck was my problem? What the hell was my problem?"
Oh please!
I mean, you have porn of yourself on the internet. Yeah, it's like people who are hideously ugly don't do that. It's not like you had a micro penis.
Oh, hey. So I don't even know why I put this on the list, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because I got bored at work. Now, granted, I should be working at work. I understand
that. You should be. You should absolutely be working at work. You should not be reading about micro penises.
I got bored at work, and maybe I was listening to a podcast and they said something about micro penises. So I was doing some research on micro penises because I was like, you know, what? Oh, and of course we would get a call, right?
Wait. Hold that thought for a moment there. We had something calling in on the celebrity death line here. Let's see what's on.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Daniel Brewer. This is Gravitas.
Hi, Gravitas.
I'm playing the celebrity death phone,
yes.
I guess.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you that the founder of Soul Train, Don Cornelius, he had died.
Really? We hadn't heard about that.
I just said that so I could hear the funny trumpet sound at the end. Oh, by the way, did you hear that Whitney Houston died?
So that was Gravitas calling in to request the sad tuba. Not once, but twice.
So now we're going to have people calling in on purpose just to hear the sad tuba?
I don't know. But you know what that means? It means either A, people have grown weary of this bit and no longer are calling us, and I would prefer to think of this because, you know, I would like to live in a world where we had a death-free week. There was absolutely no celebrity deaths this week. Is that where we're... There was no celebrity deaths this week.
So, I don't know. I'm sure somebody died, but, you know, it was...
Nope, nobody died.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, so go back to your microphone. Back to your micro penis.
Well, so I'll just say, I it's funny with the internet, with the dawn of the internet, the stupid and weird things that people will research when they're bored, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
like micro penises.
So I'm going, and they actually have photos on Wikipedia of micro penises. There are actual photos. And it says it's an unusually small penis. Well, first of all, duh. I mean, micro penis.
It's a very iconoclastic thing.
So it says, a common criterion is a dorsal, measured on top, erect penile length of at least 2.5 standard deviations smaller than the mean human penis size.
Which is to say?
This condition is usually recognized shortly after birth. The term is most often used medically when the rest of the penis, scrotum, and perineum are without ambiguity. Such as some other word I'm not going to try to pronounce. But it's like a penis of like 2.5 inches or something or less when erect or something. I don't know. But anyway, I was doing that. And then I got onto this. Oh, you know, they had all these links on Wikipedia to other related topics like penile enlargement, you know, and and then foreskin reconstruction or whatever. Because I'm cut And I've always wanted to be uncut because I have a thing about it. So then I started doing research about that. And did you know they have, there are all these devices that you can put on to regrow and stretch out your skin to create a new foreskin. Did you know that?
I was aware of that.
Not only that, but they make a product made out of latex called a SenSlip that you can put over your penis right now and feel like you've got a foreskin.
Did not know that one.
Anyway, so
did you purchase one of those?
No, I didn't. But you know what I'm thinking.
Okay. But did you purchase one of those?
Well, I was gonna answer.
Right. Okay. I understand that. But did you purchase one of those?
Right. So, I didn't. However, you know, maybe I should do a little experiment. Maybe I should purchase one, wear it for a few days, and report back.
You can do that on how that worked.
You know, there may be people out there, not Auntie Vera, I'm sure, but there may be people out there that are interested in how my glands feels.
Would those be the iconoclastic people that
isn't that what it called? The glands?
Isn't that what it's called? Is my gland? I was just like,
anyway. That was it.
All right. I'm completely lost here. So, go somewhere.
Well, speaking of glands or whatever, I had to bring this up and I didn't know what section to put it in. We had our year beginning meeting and we always bring in guest speakers as part of that. And because I work in IS, we always bring in IS related, you know, IT, IS, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed this year because our speaker this year on Thursday was Marissa Meyer from the Google.
From the Google.
Yes.
Marissa Meyer from the Google came in and spoke to you.
For anyone who doesn't know who that is, she was one of the original workers, employees, whatever, engineers.
She's one of the original workers over there at the
Googleplex
thing. She's the vice president of location and local services.
Well, now she is. Yes, I was going to get to that. So, you know, that ties right in because we were using the Google map earlier. But anyway, she gave a nice 30-minute presentation on innovation and and she actually related quotes from Sam Walton to the 11 principles that Google like lives by, basically, you know, their little sayings that they have. And it was really interesting. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of depth to go into. I just wanted everyone to know that I was within like 20, 30 feet of Marissa Meyer and she gave a speech and it was nice. That's all.
Did you get anything signed?
No, I didn't meet her. I mean, we had like 4,000 or 5,000 people in that room, and she was on this big stage in the middle, and you know, so
totally, you should have totally like worked your way into a conversation with her.
Yeah,
I mean, she probably would be interested in how your gland feels with foreskin on it.
I could tell her about my research. Hey, guess what? I Googled it.
Yeah, that's right. I Googled this thing, and that's how I know that I had a
No, I don't have. Thank you.
Technologic. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it.
Speaking of Google.
Right. Perfect.
You know what? The segues just keep on coming today. Speaking of Google, I don't know if you've heard this or not, Adam, but apparently Google has evilly and maliciously bypassed the security settings of Apple's Safari browser in order to put a cookie on your computer. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, Adam. But a cookie is apparently some kind of malicious program that runs on your computer and is capable of stealing your bank account.
But I like cookies.
All right. What I just did there was called repeat a bunch of bullshit that I've heard on the internet. So let's take this apart. Yeah, let's take this apart one thing at a time. And let's be perfectly fucking clear about this. And just, you know what? Go get a piece of paper and a pencil, dear listener, and get ready to write this down because I'm about to drop some knowledge on you that you're going to probably want to write down. Okay? I'll wait. No, it's not there. No, look in the drawer. In the drawer. There.
Can they use a smartphone or a personal device?
Sure, sure. You just want to write this down. Oh. The fuck?
Sorry about that.
Apparently cows wanted to get in on this too. All right, here's the piece of knowledge that you need to understand here. Cookies are not programs. Cookies are just text files that are passed to your browser by a website. And that's all they are. They're just a little text file. They can't hold malicious code in them. They can't hurt your computer in any way, shape, or form. They're just a little text file. And usually what they contain in them, if you were to go in and find the little text file and look inside of it, usually it contains a number. And that number is usually some kind of internal ID chip, you know, ID token for the website you're on. And the whole reason that a cookie even fucking exists is so that when you go back to Google, when you've shut down your browser and you go back to Gmail, you don't have to type in your username and password again, because it goes, oh, look, I've already given you a cookie. And I see that your account number at 12345, and therefore I'll log you in. That's all a cookie does. It's not a malicious program. It is not something that does anything to your computer. It's just a fucking text file.
So I want to go back a little ways because I want to explain. So basically what the accusation, and it was true, is that
it was barely true.
So
and only if you like stretch things to their weirdest.
So
whatever.
you have explained what a cookie is. A third party cookie is a cookie that is obtained. It's information that is either saved on your own computer or saved by a company, but it is by a company that has some sort of presence on a website that you're going to. So let me just
clarify this real quick. When I say that a cookie is a text file, a cookie absolutely is a text file. And the thing that makes a cookie unique is that it comes from a website. You cannot spoof it. So it comes from a website. So when google.com gives you a cookie, your browser records it as coming from google.com, and there's no way to get around that. And so therefore, it is guaranteed that it is from google.com, and that's how they know that they can trust the cookie. So that, I just, now go ahead with
no,
your explanation. That's an important piece.
Is a cookie that's saved by a party that is not the site that you're on. So if you're on a site like Google and there's an ad there, and that company wanted to store a cookie pertaining to you for some reason, then that's considered a third party cookie because you didn't go to their site directly. Well, right. Safari
had a link on the Google site that came from another site, and they wanted to put a cookie on your website.
Right. And Safari had a default option that said, I want to block third party cookies. So
Where's that? Incorrect. Right away. The very latest patch of Safari has it turned off by default. However, up until 6 months ago, it was not turned off by default, and I'm so fucking sick of people getting that wrong.
Well, I didn't get it wrong. That was 6 months
ago. No, I'm just saying, but you're repeating what was in these stories, and these stories are all wrong.
Well, I knew. Anyway, for the past 6 months,
right.
Pardon me, there has been. So the whole story was that Google was circumventing that by using something called an iframe. Which
yes, but however,
we don't
Apple
have to go
was
detail.
Letting certain things through. So it wasn't like they completely got rid of third-party cookies off by default. They gave people a way to get around being turned off. And the reason for that is because there are, I know you're getting upset that I keep interrupting you, but this is important. Third-party cookies are not always bad. There are valid reasons to have third-party cookies. Let's take Pride 48, for instance.
I'm not getting upset. I had to sniff.
You sign into our chat, right, which is handled on an IRC server, which is not Pride 48. It wants to give you a cookie to save so that it remembers who you are. You know, the username that you chose to use in that chat room, it will remember that for you. And it does that by passing you a cookie. Now, as we just talked about, it's not coming from Pride 48 site, even though Pride 48 is linking you through to it. So that is considered a third-party cookie. However, in this case, it is a cookie that you want.
Right.
So there are ways around this. And what Google did was very logically decided to use those exploits, because if I am a Google customer and I sign into Gmail, I absolutely want to still be able to get to YouTube and to Google Plus and to Google Docs and all of these other websites. I'm going to use that same Google cookie everywhere that I go.
Anyway, so no, I was just explaining what was happening. So they were using an iframe, but we don't need to get into detail about that. But the main reason they said they were doing it is for the Google Plus button. so that you could plus one things on other sites.
Correct.
And
it's important to note also, I know I keep interrupting, it's important to note that Facebook also uses this workaround so that you can use the like button.
So my thoughts.
Yes. Please
are
go
that,
ahead, Adam.
I my thoughts are exactly identical to one Leo Laporte. We get all of these services for free. And yes, these sites would like some information about us, but the cost of us getting these services for free is that some information is going to be obtained about, you know, some sort of tracking, but it's not malicious. Like they're not holding your social security number, you know, or, you know, they're just like, oh, Adam likes to look at artificial foreskins. So next time he comes to Google or whatever, maybe we're going to show him an ad for artificial foreskins. But there's nothing malicious behind that, but you're getting all these services for free. So, you know, I don't see a problem with it regardless.
I don't either. I also don't see a problem with advertising in general. No. It's like, that's how you learn about new things. And if I'm going, I would like to hear advertising about things that I'm interested in, and I don't want to hear advertising for things that I'm not interested in. And the only way that I'm going to achieve that nirvana, where I can hear about the latest, greatest, cool new video card, but not hear about the latest advancement in the world of tampons, is for people to know a little bit about me. And I'm absolutely just willing, and I want them to know what, you know what? I want them to know that I like The Good Wife on CBS because I want them to keep the show on the air, and I want them to make more shows like that. I want them to know that I like, I don't like eating chocolate cookies because I want them to make more non-chocolate choices for me. It's just one of this whole bullshit thing that we are like going to go bury our head in the sand. You know what? All of you people who are probably now you're getting my blood all angry here and whatever.
Go
file a fucking lawsuit against Verizon. Cause you know what? This is $1 million lawsuit for anyone who wants to go and fucking file this. Verizon publishes a book that they give out to everyone that has a phone that contains people's names and phone numbers in it. You should absolutely sue them for breach of privacy because they're just distributing it. They're just handing it out to people, a book with people's, sometimes their street address.
Wait, and
their phone number.
Not only that, but if you don't want to be listed in that, you gotta pay them. It's like the mob. Oh. So you don't want us to show your phone number there. Well, you know, you got to give us a little something, you know.
It's just angry.
Well, I like cookies. I just have one thing to say about that.
What starts with the letter C? Cookie starts with C. Let's think of other things that starts with C. Who cares about other things? C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for
good
me.
Good enough for me.
Anyway, right. So I like cookies.
All right. Let's do this. We had an email that really probably shouldn't be in the
Okay, you can certainly make that decision.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be in the contact section because it really is more tech oriented. And this, I'm Googling something right now.
So
this one comes
into
us from. Go ahead.
Do you want me to read it while you're Googling, or did you?
I don't think you got this one because this is the one that was sent just to me.
Oh, okay.
This one comes from Mark, Musing Mark from the Musing Mark podcast, who says, "Hi, Daniel. I hope you're doing well and adjusting to the northern weather." Apparently, he was listening earlier today on this very show when he heard that it was snowing outside. It's okay. It stopped snowing now. I always enjoy listening to new episodes of DI Plus, and thanks for helping folks with their Mevio problems. I was thinking about getting a listener line for Musings of a Tech Writer, but I'm cheap. Do you know of any free service that will give me a phone number and a voicemail? And that's from Mark in Canada. Yes, Mark, I absolutely do. And the thing that I was just Googling here was to find out what the requirements are for Google Voice. I know that you have to have a U.S. phone number to set up a Google Voice number. However, once you have established the account, and as we learned today, recorded the voicemail greeting, but after you've done those two things, you no longer need the phone. You can, we have the Dubious Intent listener line actually goes to my husband's phone. So when you're calling the Dubious Intent phone number, it's actually, you know, going to Robert's phone, but we have it turned off. So he's like, don't ever call this phone. So it would never ever call him and bug him with a, so that's kind of what I know you're in Canada. So that's what I was worried about there. So what you would need to do is you need to find somebody that has a US phone that will allow you to borrow their number that doesn't already have it associated with a Google Voice number. And then just simply go to voice.google.com, sign up for a Google Voice number, give it that phone number. It will call that number. You'll have to punch in a code on that number to verify that you're that person, record your greeting, and then take the phone, you know, basically turn off any of the phone stuff. And then from that point forward, any voicemails that you get will come in through your email. You can go to google.voice.com and play them on the website. And that's how we do stuff here at DI Plus. That's how we do it at the new Leet Sauced podcast that I'm doing. And that's how a lot of podcasters do it. So it's absolutely free. And unlike the old K6 numbers, there isn't a, you don't have to have a message once every 30 days in order to keep it active.
And they don't give new numbers anymore.
K6 is no longer doing that, huh?
Yeah, because you and I were going to use them, and they said currently we're not allowing new accounts or whatever. So it didn't say they were gone for good or anything, but it said they were not. Well, at least when we went there, that's what it said. That's why we decided to go with Google Voice. But the only issue was both of us already had Google Voice, so that's why we used Robert. So now he can't get a Google Voice number.
Who can't? Oh, yeah, well, Robert, actually, that is true. But probably what I will do is I will move the dubious intent phone number to my office phone number and then open his up to get his own Google Voice number. However, go ahead and read the next question, because we also got another email from Mark. It was another tech question. So go ahead and read that one, and I will do some Googling while you're doing that.
Okay, so hey guys, a couple of episodes ago, you gave some good setup advice for new podcasters. You said to always keep control of your RSS feed. Unfortunately, I have a Libsyn RSS feed. I have had problems with my feed in the past, and trying to get Libsyn to fix the problem was a nightmare. What can I do to get control of my RSS feed, or am I fucked? Well, Mark, I don't know if you're fucked. That would be a personal issue that you should know. I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that, but... I will say this. I did, and maybe Daniel has found all the information while I was reading the thing, but I will say that the only thing that you can really do if you want to get control of it is to actually change your RSS feed. At least maybe Daniel has a different... You will have to move it over to another feed if Libsyn does indeed have control of that. There, within iTunes, there is a way to submit a new feed, and then they, I believe... And I'm going to speak out of my ass here because I'm not.
All right. Let me just stop you right there, because there's actually a way to do this from within Libsyn. If inside your Libsyn account, because I have used Libsyn in the past for the alcohol show, there is and now that they've done that new interface, it's kind of buried. But you have to go into the advanced settings, and what you're looking for is a thing called an RSS redirect. And what you do there is put your feed burner feed there. So go set up a new feed burner feed, which is free to do. And actually, this is where it kind of gets weird. You're going to use your Libsyn feed as where your feed burner pulls from. Okay. And then you're going to go into Libsyn under the advanced settings, and you're going to give it your feed burner feed. And there's a little checkbox there that says that you're doing a double redirect. Make sure you check on that, and that will make everything work correctly. And what that does is that it will notify iTunes that the feed has changed to feed burner, but it will keep it all going through Libsyn. So you don't have to do anything different from your side of producing episodes or whatever. But Libsyn absolutely does have that feature inside the advanced settings. So that is what you want to do. Also, you could Google just moving Libsyn to feed burner. That's how I found it.
But if he really wants to take control of the feed, like not have, am I confused that he still wants to have the feed on Libsyn? So he wants to have his own feed that he has control of, not using Libsyn.
Okay. Then what you do is do what I just said, redirect it and let it go ahead and use the Libsyn. As its source while you build a new website, and then use Blogger or WordPress or whatever you want to use to build the feed. And inside, you're going to need some kind of plugin that will tell your website, like WordPress, that you use like a PodPress plugin or whatever that says, you know, my file for this episode is stored here. And then you pull the RSS off of the website and then tell FeedBurner to use that instead of Libsyn. But the important part is to get iTunes to switch it from Libsyn to FeedBurner, and you do that through the RSS redirect in Libsyn.
So at what point do you know, can you be certain that iTunes is now pulling the feed burner and not...
Go to your podcast subscription page inside of iTunes where you have your show at, and go to, what is it, description? Where it shows the actual feed address.
Well, I don't know exactly where that is. That's why I was asking. I will say
I'm leaning over here to this other computer. Hold on a second.
I will say that Brenda Boo was actually creating a new feed for whatever reason, maybe a new website or whatever. And there is some really good information on Apple's website in their podcasting section about how to change feeds.
Yeah,
and if you're they actually have a way now where you can put a certain tag inside the feed and it will tell iTunes, hey, this is a new feed of an old whatever. And I can't, again, I don't have the information in front of me, but if you Google that, then they will actually give you some good information on how to do that. But you right. can actually include a redirect.
Yes, and they've always had that. But yes, you will know that the feed has changed in iTunes if you go to your podcast subscription page and do a get, you know, right click on the show name and do get description or show description. And it will bring up a window that's the actual show description, but at the top of it, it will actually list the actual URL for the feed. So there you go, Mark. I'm glad that we could help you in that very convoluted technical question.
Technologic. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, pawn it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, get it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, crack it.
The new.
At least 9 police cars responded Tuesday to reports of a woman bound in duct tape and naked in a man's car, but the incident turned out to be a Valentine's role play. Shortly after noon, police converged on the New Seasons Market on North Interstate Avenue after receiving a report of a vehicle seen leaving the parking lot with a naked female tied up in the back with duct tape over her mouth. According to police, a witness told officers that the driver of the car was a white male in his 20s with a goatee and sunglasses, and that the female, quote, seemed hazy. The witness told police that the male stated they, quote, were just having some fun. So it says the witness provided the license plate and they tracked him down. An officer saw a bound and naked woman in the back of the car and approached the driver.
So is it basically, this is all a the moral of this is don't use help. I'm being kidnapped as your safe word,
right? No. So the girlfriend confirmed it. You know, she was in the back tied up naked, but she confirmed that it was all part of the role play. So the couple declined an interview request later Tuesday evening.
Really? That seems odd that they would decline that that interview.
So
what are they trying to hide? Huh?
I don't know. You know, that's one of the craziest things I've heard. That so when you're sitting around and you're thinking, you know, what am I going to do for Valentine's Day? You know,
yes.
What am I going to do for my honey, my tranny assistant, my Filipino lover, you know, whatever you call your, you know, ball and chain. You know, who sits there and thinks, you know what I think I want to do is I want to duct tape you. I want to duct tape your mouth shut, honey. Strip you naked and throw you in the back of the car. Then
sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
I mean, then afterwards, what? Go to Waffle House for their 5-star Valentine's dinner?
Yes, but you need to put it in a blender and feed it to them through a straw. Because you don't want to. It would just ruin it. I got nothing.
Well, in that case, a southeastern Pennsylvania man is behind bars after police say he walked naked into Philadelphia area Walmart and stole a pair of socks.
Well, sometimes your feet get cold.
So, Verdon Lamont Taylor was arrested Wednesday night after police say he stripped off his clothes in the parking lot of the Exton store and went inside. Police told local media outlets that surveillance footage shows the 6'4", 300-pound Downington man walking around the store wearing nothing but a pair of socks he had stolen there. The video also shows shoppers avoiding Taylor. Really? You think? Anyway, they used a stun gun on him to subdue him after he refused to comply with their orders and spat in an officer's face. He was arraigned on charges.
My socks.
What I don't understand about this one is, why did he strip off? I mean, he must have had...
Really? This is the thing that confuses you. No. A 6 foot, what, 300 pound man, 6 foot four, 300 pound man is walking around in Walmart naked, wearing only a pair of socks that he stole from there. And that's your one question is, why did he strip off his clothes in the parking lot?
Well, no.
Why not at home?
What I'm saying, he stripped off, walked in, and then proceeded to steal clothing. I mean, he was wearing clothing before he walked in.
Maybe he was worried that they had placed some kind of bugging device on his clothes. They were tracking him, and he needed to go in and get new clothes. It all makes perfect sense to me. And where was this again? Was this in California?
No, it was in Pennsylvania.
Okay, good. Because the only 6'4", 300-pound person I know is Donna Sugars. And I wanted to make sure it wasn't Donna Sugars.
I wonder if he was Amish. We would have known that if he walked into the Walmart and said, "Well, hello, boys." Well, to the other side of the world, Stockholm, Sweden, a Swedish man, not really the other side of the world, but we'll pretend.
No.
A Swedish man.
We're not really good at geography, are we?
A Swedish man was being treated in hospital Sunday after being dug out alive from his snow-buried car in which he had. Now, the reason I picked it, before I finish this, I picked this story to make you jealous. Because yes. You have no snow. Because
I have no snow. And this gentleman in Sweden is hogging all the snow.
Right. So he was dug out alive from his snow-buried car in which he had survived for 2 months with no food, according to local police and local media.
That is an extreme diet.
Right. You know, you wanted to quit smoking and lose weight.
I know. I should just bury myself. I was going to do that, but it wouldn't snow here. That's the problem, is I can't get enough snow to bury the car.
Your whole plan to move to Connecticut to bury yourself in a car to both
that was
smoking and lose weight.
That was my plan. And unfortunately, you know, not enough snow here. And I ended up, you know, getting an apartment right between the House of Lard and the Curry Factory. And
now it does say one thing. You are a podcaster and we do have an event coming up in September. It does say that he was emaciated and too weak to utter more than a few words.
So he probably wasn't live blogging from under the snow.
Probably not. You might not be able to continue your podcasting career should you bury yourself under snow.
Well, you know what? I wanted to talk about that in the beginning of the show, and we never did. We'll talk about that after contact. Because I wanted to talk about how do we take a break. And I have some ideas on that, and then we can do all that. Well, you know, I think the guy ruined. I'm very jealous. I would like to bury myself in the snow for 2 months. Unfortunately, there's not enough snow around here. So he probably looks great now that he's gotten some soup. He's probably, he's doing well now, I take it.
I don't know.
Did he lose any fingers or... or what did they call it on bones? Did he lose any phalanges?
Phalanges. It just said he was found not far away from some city. He was lying in the back seat in a sleeping bag. He had been in the car since December 19th. It's a very long story. I'm sure. I guess he must be fine.
Excellent.
He's alive. Weird.
Certainly glad that he is alive. It's your birthday. It's time for the birthdays. Here's the man that makes the birthdays happen. It's Mr. Birthday himself. It's Mr. Adam Burns.
Yes. So the first one. Now, I have two clips on this first one again. And so I'll give you, as I normally, I think the reason that you do so well is because I give hints beforehand.
Right. No hints. Just do it.
Oh, no hints. Okay. So you will definitely need to listen to both of these clips.
We're going to call this episode Birthdays Bareback.
Okay.
Just designing women.
Okay. You're going to have to hear the second one.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to.
Second one. Second
here
one.
Is the second clip. Well,
I was looking for a job out there in San Francisco.
Hal Holbrook, move on.
All right. Wow. Really, very good. So Hal Holbrook, he was in Designing Women. He was Julia's sugar baker.
For like a piece of a season.
No, more than that. Two or three seasons. He just wasn't in very many episodes. But he turned 87.
87, which is much younger than Morgan Freeman. All right. Next.
So we've had a birthday of one of these, and this is the other one. So here you go.
What do you not get about the no clues? Ah, so it must be Pat Sajak's birthday.
No.
Oh, it must be Vanna White's birthday.
Yes.
Excellent.
Vanna White, let's see how old she is. Vanna White turned 55. So
excellent. Happy, much younger than Morgan Freeman.
Happy birthday, Vanna.
Happy birthday. Uh-huh. Wait. Let's. Can I buy a vowel, please?
Do-do-do-do. Or whatever they do. Okay, here's our next one.
Someone by night. Oh my God. You know, we should have covered this in the tech segment, that goofy ass Microsoft dig at Google that they called Goog Lighting or whatever. This is the theme to Moonlighting, so I'm going to assume that it is Bruce Willis's birthday.
See, without hints, you don't do very well at all.
All right, it's Sybil Shepherd's birthday.
Yes, it's Sybil Shepherd's birthday.
There we go.
Sybil Shepherd, let's see how old she is.
Why didn't you just play the theme song to Sybil?
I never watched that.
She had her own short-lived show.
She turned 62.
62, which is, I believe, Morgan Freeman's age. A lot of 62-year-olds this year.
You know, I didn't think...
Something happened 62 years ago. There was like a you know, we... it's like all of our celebrities were born 62 years ago.
Now, Morgan Freeman, we have no verification that he is 62. Morgan Fairchild is 62. Morgan Freeman, you were just making that up. I think he's in his 70s or 80s. He's got to be older than...
Nearly six decades ago, I came screaming out of my mother's womb and into this world, doctor spanked me on my butt.
I mean, we do have this device in front of us called a computer.
No, that's no fun. Move on. Who's next?
And we could actually see how old Morgan Freeman is. So I'm going to just
move on. Who's next?
I'm going to correct you. He was... Oh, God, I'd have to do math. He was born... Morgan Freeman is 74.
Excellent.
Okay. So here is our next one.
Michael J. Fox.
I think you should... No, it's not. But I think you should say what the show is.
I can't remember. Is it Family Ties?
It's Family Ties.
Family Ties, sorry. So Justine Bateman.
It is Justine Bateman.
Excellent.
Justine Bateman turned...
Because Tina Yothers is like one of those seven-day Adventists and doesn't celebrate birthdays. So I knew it wasn't her.
Justine Bateman turned 62.
No, 62. Wait, no. Excellent. No, you said it. You said it. The foot has come down. She is 62.
She's 40.
Justine Bateman. You know what? When she was on that show, she was 42 years old playing the part of a teenager.
She's 46. I'm sorry. You know, did you ever notice, though, back in the 80s, when all those shows came out, that everyone looked older? Like, yes. No matter how old they were, I don't know whether it was the clothes they wore or the way they did their hair or what. Okay, here's the next one.
But yeah, because nowadays, whatever. It's like, have you not seen Smallville? You have like a 30-year-old main lead pretending like he's still in high school.
I'm Clark Kent.
I don't know. Somehow they look younger. Okay.
Go.
Here we go.
I don't recognize this theme song. This is a television show that I, or a movie that I'm unfamiliar with. What is the name of the show?
Okay, so they say, "Can you see us?" at the beginning. The show is Ghost Whisperer.
The Ghost Whisperer. So it must be the chick.
It is the chick.
I don't know what her name
is. Okay, Jennifer Love.
That her, Hewitt.
Hewitt, yes. And yes. She,
which not related, by the way, to David Hewitt, who was on Stargate Atlantis, who played Dr. Rodney McKay.
And she is 33.
33, half of Justine Bateman's age.
And at my age as well. So there you go. You know, no one has sent us in podcaster birthdays, so either none
podcaster
of
podcaster birthdays, we have no idea.
So, you know, okay, so here's the next one.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss out scrambled eggs.
Well, if I were to say Kelsey Grammer, that would be too obvious, right?
No,
so
that
it's
is...
probably... Yeah, no, it was?
That's correct.
But I was going to demonstrate my knowledge that I also knew that David Hyde Pierce and John Mahoney were on that show. But, well, okay, fine.
No, it actually, this one was Kelsey Grammer. I do go with obvious. It's just that we didn't have obvious birthdays this week, I guess. Yeah. Kelsey Grammer...
Scrambled eggs all over his face, baby.
Right. Is having twins, by the way. And, well, his wife. And
oh, no, he, that's just, no, not his wife. That's a very bitter subject. Apparently, you don't watch The Real Housewives of Flickaflockin, because I think his ex-wife was on The Real Housewives of Flickaflockin. So if I say the word Kelsey Grammer around here, my husband will go off on a big diatribe about what a douche he is. So apparently, he left his wife for a younger model, and she's the one having twins.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're married. Okay, sorry. I assumed that I knew he left his wife, who, by the way, has IBS. So
the irritable bowel
yes.
syndrome.
So apparently
Excellent.
It was too flatulent in the room and he just had to get away. But I didn't know. I just assumed that he had married the new model. But OK, whatever. But they are having twins. So there you go. Happy birthday, Kelsey. So here is our next one. If I can pull that up.
This is Cagney and Lacey.
It is Cagney. I love this show.
And well, I love both of the main characters. I didn't really care for the show as much as I really liked the both the characters. So I would watch the show thinking this is a really stupid plot and everything, but I really like these two actors, so I kind of like follow them. All right, so the two actors involved here would be Tyne Daly and Sharon Gillis.
Yes.
So I'm going to assume that it's this is like a throw a dart here.
It's my
Sharon
favorite
Gillis.
Of the two.
Sharon Gillis.
No.
Tyne Daly.
Tyne
That's
Daly.
What I meant. I meant to say Tyne Daly.
Tyne Daly is 66.
66. You know, she could have played that part of Mallory on Family Ties because she is right about Justine Bateman's age.
You know, I have to say about the show, first of all, I love the intro because it's got a lot of trumpets in it. But
even though the beginning of it is saxophone, yes.
It is,
yes.
But it does have a lot of trumpets in it. So Tyne Daly, just for those of you who don't know, was in another show about 5 or 6 years ago called Judging Amy, which
yes.
I loved.
Yes, I like that show as
well. And Sharon Gillis was in a show that I love, love, loved called Queer as Folk.
Yes, but she is also currently, she's in...
It's that one about firefighters.
No, it's in Burn Notice. It's not about firefighters. It's about it's the same premise as the White Collar. It's just done differently.
Oh, I
it's
thought a, it was about firefighters.
No, it has nothing to do with firefighters.
The name of it's
Burn Notice.
What's no. one? Okay, never mind. There is a, there
he's
was
a he's a spy that was burned instead of a criminal that was released, but same concept.
Okay. Well, sorry about that. But anyway, there's some trivia about them, even though I fucked up Sharon Gillis' trivia.
Yes, you did.
All right. So here is our next one. Here we go.
Thank you for being afraid.
Didn't we just do this at the beginning of the show?
No. Her birthday was weeks ago, and we talked about it back then.
No, but didn't Hal Holbrook... Didn't you just play the Golden Girls theme?
No.
Like this episode, didn't you just play? Oh, that was Designing Women.
Yes.
Okay. I get those confused. Well, it's not Bea Arthur because she's dead. And it's not it's not Betty White because she just had a birthday. And it's not Sophia because she's dead. I don't even remember. Estelle something. And so that only leaves the one that's really has just gone to hell. She like looks like she's has so much plastic. Oh, she's horrible looking. You know, Rue McClanahan.
It is Rue McClanahan. But I have to say that don't you remember that we do have dead celebrity birthdays on?
Nope. La 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 la. Nope. We don't.
Yes, we do. And Rue McClanahan is dead, by the way.
Oh, excellent.
So Rue McClanahan, had she not been dead, would be 77.
77! She was a young and sprightly Mallory on Family Ties all those many years ago.
So all of the Golden Girls are dead except for
Betty White, who's currently on Hot in Cleveland, which just hit Netflix streaming, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I watched it on Hulu or something. But anyway,
excellent.
That is
Move
our
forward.
Birthdays for this week.
Oh, that's it. You know, usually you say our last one, and then I know to have the birthday song cued. But that's all right. You know, I'm a professional.
So our last one for tonight.
Right. What the fuck was that? Who the fuck was that? It's your birthday.
So,
no, I'm sorry. Everyone needs to rehearse that song because when we're in Vegas in February and September and we start playing that, I want everyone to sing along.
Okay.
Because it's a cool song. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, we didn't really, now I put Google Plus comments in there, not having in mind any specific ones. So I was hoping like while we were talking, you could like go over there and see if we had
I can do that.
But while you're doing that, I'll go ahead and do voicemails. So here, our first voicemail comes from Australia, and let's just have a listen for that.
G'day, Adam. G'day, Mr. Brewer. This is Scotty, a little Aussie battler. Now, first things first, not in order of importance. Daniel, I am not going to punch you in the face at Pride 2012.
Yes.
Secondly, to Adam, Adam, I don't hate you. However, there is a chance that you now hate me, having probably read my comments on your Google Wave.
No, actually, I hate him now because there was a conversation about Daniel and Adam and dubious intent, and Scotty evidently decided that Daniel was the boss of everything, regardless of... So, anyway, yes, there you go.
Your old man haircut and glasses and whatever crazy ridiculousness you were talking about on Google. And you probably won't hear me say this too often, possibly never, but I can safely say that whatever crap Daniel Brewer has given you about those comments and everything, that I wholeheartedly agree with him. Okay, this is Scotty, your little Aussie battler. P.S.
Yes?
I'm not coming to Pride 2012, so Pride 2013, well, the jury is still out, Mr. Brewer.
Oh, wait. Whoa. Why is Scotty not coming to Pride 2012? What the hell?
That was the end of the voicemail, so I
guess... What the hell? Scotty, little Aussie battler.
So apparently, Daniel, you are the boss of me.
I am.
Apparently, no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
No, what he was saying was he agrees with me on my comments that you looked like a German person named Dieter. No, I think he probably kind of knew that I was going to go off on that whole rant about you need to get the fuck over this whole thing about I'm getting older, because you're going to get older and you just need to learn to deal with it. So.
Well, thank you for your call, Scotty.
Now, I demand a recall here. Recall? No, not like a revote or anything, but why are you not going to Pride 48 this year, Scotty? I thought that I was all excited because, not that I'm not excited that Arthur and Nigel are going to be there. I am excited about that. But can't you just like carpool with them from Australia? Can't you carpool? Isn't New Zealand like right next door? Can't you guys like carpool over here together?
Could you not say funny things while I have a glass or a mouthful of stuff?
Would it be, maybe it's, maybe you can get, who's the other one that used to listen to the Adam and Maddie from Australia? Justin. Does Justin still listen to us? If Justin's there, you know, we could get like all of those folks over in Australia and New Zealand, why don't you guys all get together and charter a jet? It would be a lot cheaper.
Right. A boat, a big pride boat going across the ocean there. It'll be awesome.
They could put a big high heel shoe on top of it.
Yes.
And have streamers flowing from it. It would be awesome. It would be
actually,
you know,
have a boat-a-thon and just get people to pledge money per mile, but just don't tell them that you're going to the United States. So when you get there, like 4,000 miles away, you call them and go, "Oh, that'll be $4,000 now, mate." And then it'll pay for the trip. Anyway.
Well, thank you for your call.
I'm super bummed now that he's not coming to Pride 48.
So our next one is from one of my favorite callers, if not my favorite caller.
We don't have favorites.
Hello, boys.
Oh, it's Donna
Sugars. Darlings. Oh, this is Donna Sugars. Oh, I'm so sad that I accidentally called the wrong number because I totally would have called first. Okay. All right. Bitterness succeeded.
So there was a Google Plus or something where
if you're gonna talk about all the Google Pluses while you had me go look them up, then there's no point in me going and looking them up.
No, I'm not. Were those ones that you had? They were pertinent to the voicemail.
Right. Well, okay. Well, here I will read you what Miss Donna Sugar said.
Okay. Because what she said here in the voicemail pertains to something she said on Google Plus. And that is the reason why that I was saying what she was saying about I would have been first.
Mm-hmm. She says, in a state of grief over the death of Whitney Houston, I accidentally called the Live It Up voicemail instead of Dubious Intent. Poor Westone had to hear me blubbering about Whitney Houston.
So that's what she was referring to there.
Well, my darling, I called because Daniel doing an impression of Julia Childs. I nearly peed. Like, I was laughing so hard, people around me at work thought I was having a fit. It was the funniest damn thing I've ever heard. So please do that more. It is so good. Oh, my God. So, okay. Kisses, darlings. Mwah. Bye.
You know, somewhere, I would have to try to find this somewhere. And I don't even know how I would go about finding this. But when I was... 8 or 9, we had a movie camera, a filmed movie camera, like a Super 8.
They had
camera.
Those when you were 8 or 9?
Yes. So they had the moving pictures when I was 8 or 9. And I had written this little Julia Childs skit because at the time, Dan Aykroyd used to do these Julia Childs bits on Saturday Night Live that my older siblings liked. And so I had written like this little Julia Childs skit that I recorded on the movie projector, which of course had no sound. So I would have to go back later and put the sound in, and I never, but it was, so I have an 8 or 9 year old Daniel Brewer running around the kitchen pretending like he was Julia Childs. I have no idea how I would even find that movie now, or if I did find it, how I would even watch it, like play it. I don't know how to do that because we don't have a working projector anymore. So we have all those old Super 8 films.
There are companies that do that. I mean, I know you can like send your Super 8 or whatever tapes off and the company will, you know, put them on DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, you'd have to eBay some kind of device that does that. I don't know how expensive that would be. I know they make, you know, like Super 8 to whatever converters, I'm sure, but.
All right.
Anyway. Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Donna Sugars. We always love it when Donna Sugars calls.
Maybe sometime we need to have a Donna Sugars segment. We had an Alden segment. We had we had Nessa's someone name. Else on the entire show, Nessa.
Yes.
So maybe we need to have a, you know.
We had Westone on.
Oh, I know what we could do. One time when you're gone, Donna Sugars could be a fill-in co-host.
There you go. You and Donna.
Yeah. All right. So here's our next one.
I'm trying to call the Dubious Intent phone. Of course,
yes.
Your lazy asses haven't made the new message that would show that this is the Dubious Intent phone. So
wait. Can I just say, and I told this to Daniel earlier, it is not laziness on my part. I even let Daniel listen. There are only two options for recording.
Yes, but
the point is
you didn't even try until today.
No, I've been trying for weeks.
No, you haven't, because why did Robert just come in here today and go, why is Dubious Intent calling my phone?
Because before I wasn't trying to have it call that other number. I've been trying for at least a month to figure out a way to do this.
Well, this is the first I've heard of it.
No, it is not. You are such a liar because we had this conversation before. Anyway, regardless.
Maybe in your dreams.
You're old. You can't remember. So
I do recall.
I... So Google Voice will only either, you can't just give them an MP3 and say, use this. Right. It will either call the number that you signed up for, which is not my number, which is Robert's number, or it will call Google Chat. But every time I tried to call Google Chat to record the fucking message, I would get, and I couldn't understand what it was saying.
That's awesome. I would so love to make that our voice. I'm going to have it call Robert's phone again, and then I'm going to change our greeting, which is now changed, by the way. It does actually work at this point. But because I had that, we had it call Robert's phone, and I recorded the message.
So anyway, I just want to say it was not laziness. I was having troubles getting it to work.
Make the assumption that the phone number on the Google Plus Dubious Intent website is indeed the Dubious Intent phone line. This is your answer.
I do not know
Charles,
who you are calling. I have no idea.
Daniel, it is not Mike Nesbitt. It's Mike Nesmith.
N-E-S-M-I-T-H.
Nesmith.
Nesmith.
And it's not Dan Kesakhead, or whatever you said.
Castellana.
It's Dan Castellaneta. If you're going to say a name, say it right. I hope this is the Dubious Intent line, because it's not clear by your message. Love you both. Mean it.
Otherwise, you just piss somebody off, right? You just like, oh, good.
Well, you were just talking.
Oh, my goodness, Rajiv, look, the phone is ringing over here. We got a voice message. Wait, who is this person that is yelling at us in a most unkind way? I can't do a Indian accent.
You just walked all over the love you both, mean it.
Yes, I know. I'm sure you'll fix it in the mix, or fix it in post, as the case may be. All right, so Mike Nesmith and what was the other? Dan Castellaneta?
I believe so.
Castellaneta. All right, excellent. Well, that was Antivira Churls that gave us that information, so thank you very much. You can check her out at her website, which is veraspoke.com. So
isn't it veraspeaks.com?
No, that was while she was doing it. After it's done, it's Vera Spoke.
What about Vera Has Spoken?
That is some kind of other piece of grammar which I am not familiar.
Should have spoken before. Vera should have spoken before.
Although, I wonder if that's taken. If that address is not taken, maybe let me just check this real
Vera
quick.
VeraHasSpoken.com.
VeraHasSpoken.com. I like this idea. Let's see. GoDaddy.
Actually.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to get calls. Hey, don't use GoDaddy to register your things.
You know, we should come up with all the different conjugations of that verb. You know, speaks, has
the
spoken.
The past, future, present, Vera. Vera will have had spoken.
Will have spoken. Would have spoken.
Right. Now, VeraHasSpoken.com is available. Should I buy it? Should I buy VeraHasSpoken.com?
What would you do with it?
You know, just like recaps. So you just do recaps of her show.
No, seriously.
There was some funny voices. She argued with conscience.
A new podcast. You know, Vera
has spoken.
So you know how some people will do these YouTube shows where they recap television shows and stuff for the week?
Uh-huh.
You know, and they go on and on about it and whatever. So it is our fan podcast for Vera Speaks podcast. It's Vera Has Spoken. And we go over, you know, what she said and you know, kind of do analysis, play-by-play sort of coverage.
But, I should just buy it and just redirect it to Big Fatty Online. Vera's folk. Move forward, please.
Well, that was all of the...
We could do it as a segment here on this show because, you know, the theme song would be really easy on that. It would just be the, Vera has spoken, she made a podcast. These are the words that she blathered about. All right.
So...
Go ahead.
So, yeah, the next one was just any Google Plus comments. So did we have
We have some Google Plus comments. So let me get back to them here because I had to do a thing. I had to go searching down Miss Donna Sugars.
And then that is, just so you know beforehand, that is the end of my list. So if you had anything else you wanted to cover after that, then that's all you.
Right. All right. Let's see. So, Scotty Little Aussie Battler said, I hope this episode covers Adam's haircut and glasses make me ugly, old, and fat topic. That was the thing because you did the glasses picture after we had recorded, but before you had posted the last episode. So this episode is actually the episode that I am commenting on that.
Yes, and I will have to say, he makes the comment that please retake the picture without the old man glasses, and then says that I shouldn't call myself old or be worried about that.
Correct.
So
yes,
that's an oxymoron.
No, it's not.
Yes.
He's just, you just don't get humor, do you?
Maybe I don't get Australians.
Speak this about, who's this cute guy that's following us?
I don't know.
Anyway, let's see. So we also got this from Scotty, little Ozzy Battler. That's O-Z-Z-Y, who says, I went over to the Dubious Intent page but could not work out how to post something on the wall there. Well, that's because this isn't fucking Facebook. There is no wall. You can comment on something that we've left there. So like if you go to the Dubious Intent page, you can leave a comment there. Or you can, just like you did, post a comment in your stream and plus Dubious Intent, in which case we then see it and go, oh, look, little Aussie Battler has made a smart-ass comment about us. Let's see. P.S. I need to include Adam Burns, too. He's the beauty. And then you tried to go in there and do this whole thing, you know, that Dubious Intent. Daniel Brewer is not the boss. There is no boss.
That's
the show
right.
is a mutual effort. It's brains versus beauty, and we have both brains and beauty. That is so incorrect. I have, there is no beauty in me. I have no beauty.
Well, I was trying to be sweet.
I know,
and
you failed.
And no, what I was saying was, I put a lot of work into this show.
You do.
And I'm just saying that is an equal.
And I piss all over
it. Is an equal effort.
That is incorrect.
It is not an equal effort.
You do much more work than I do.
Just like the Adam and Maddie show, I do all the work, and right. Daniel comes in and is the ass.
That's correct. I am not Maddie, though.
Well, no, not exactly.
So let's get that out of the way right there. All right, so no, we don't have anything else. You know what? Because of the way that you do the website, people can't really get to the thing to leave the comments. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, because the way you do it, you can't get to the comments.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. There's a link that says zero comments and zero reactions, and you click on that, and it takes you to add a comment.
But it looks like it's not part of the article. It looks like it's part of the article underneath it.
Well, I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I had a line there, and you told me to take the line away.
I don't know. Just fix it. So if you want to go to our website, you can click. Look, if you go to our website and you find the article and go underneath it, right under where it says download now, there's a little thing that says zero comments and zero reactions. Or perhaps by the time you get there, it'll say one comment or two comments. Don't be freaked. It's still the same link. And then just click on that. And that's how we get the those comments there. Or of course, you can always leave just comments over at Google Plus and everything. So here's the thing. I wanted to talk about taking a break.
I don't like taking breaks.
Well, here's the thing. This is an open discussion. People may feel free to comment on this however they wish. All right. You know, television shows take breaks for a very long period of time, right? They have a season and then they're done for the summer and or whatever. And then they come back the next year and they do X number of new episodes and yada, yada, yada. I don't want to do that because that's kind of extreme and we don't have the production necessities that a television show does. But even when you think about your job, right, you have in my case, I have 17 days off a year, right? So I don't work every single day of the year. I have days off during the year.
Right.
And then on top of that, there's holidays that we all take off and yada, yada, yada.
Well, there are other shows. That was rude of me. But I'm going to do it anyway. There are other shows like live shows like The Tonight Show or The View Live with Regis. And oh, he's not on there anymore. Live with Kelly.
No.
And what they do when they want to take their time off is they just get a different co-host or they get a different host.
You see, and we're not going to do that because that gets too complicated because there's all this. We don't do a live show, right? We have a feed that goes into it and everything. So here's my thought. And this is kind of like a hybrid model that I've come up with from the Twit shows, whatever. So my suggestion it would be that perhaps we take breaks once a quarter. So, you know, we have a spring break, a fall break, a summer break, and a winter break. But what we do is during that season, right, we record extra material that will be used to make the show. So it's kind of like an evergreen show, right? So it's not, it's a show that maybe isn't as topical or whatever, but it's brand new content. But we put that, it's pre-done that we've done over the period of that time. And then it goes on. Instead of a rerun, it's kind of an evergreen show that goes in place so that we can have, you know, a week or two off once every quarter. Because, you know, we're not all Big Fatty. Right?
No, that's true.
I mean, Big Fatty does the whole, you know, I'm going to do a show, God damn it, and I don't care if I'm in the hospital dying. I'm going to do a fucking show every day for 20 minutes. And you get to the point, and it's not just me, right? It's other podcasters that get burnt out. There's times that you're just like, I just fucking don't want to do a podcast this week. I just don't want to do it. And, you know, there's 10 other things I'd rather be doing. And so I think that's the, you know, the point is this should be fun, right? I mean, this is something we don't get paid for. This is something that we do because we enjoy it.
I'm having so much fun. Can I just say to the listeners right now, I love talking to you. I'm just kidding. No, but no.
All right, then I will take a break. Then I will take a break once every, I'll take a break once every 4 weeks or once every 10 weeks. And then what you can do, you can just do solo shows.
What we'll do is we'll have a Daniel bot. And no, I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying, what I was going to say jokingly was, so what Daniel is saying is, so what I'd like you to do, Adam, is I'd like you to string together a best of show.
But we could start maybe doing some stuff after we're done recording the show. We could do some stuff that then gets filed away. That's not part of the show that we start stockpiling up that we could put together.
No, I'm perfectly, show. You know what? That when you mentioned taking a break, I was a little hesitant. And the reason that I'm hesitant about that is because when you aren't consistent, you lose listeners. But, now that you mentioned that, I think that is a good idea. So I am not opposed to that.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, with all of that being said and all of the whatever.
But, you know, the only problem that I have, with little bits and I don't think little bits and pieces, little fucking bits and little bits and pieces of shows that are, you know, little segments that we try to string together. I mean, are you not worried that maybe they might come out sounding a little bit smothered, covered, and chunked?
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. Maybe tell us what a tortured analogy that was that Adam just made. 2x2 DI Plus. That's 229-234-7587. Or you can send us an iconoclastic email at contact@dubiousintent.com, or you can go to our website, dubiousintent.com, and we're also on Google Plus. You know, and
I looked over there at the page, and I was thinking, because the normal Waffle House thing is scattered,
yes,
smothered, covered, whatever. So I was thinking in my head, scattered. That it would sound scattered.
Right.
So work with me, people. Just work with me.
You couldn't have worked it into the snow, like how the snow kind of smothered and covered, and now it's chunked. I don't know. It was a great name. It was a good effort, though. It was a good effort, Adam.
It's over
good effort.
Done now.
Excellent. Say goodnight,
Adam. Good night.